If you're listening to this, then you likely already know that being an independent musician can be a lonely road. And maybe your friends and your family just don't fully understand why you do what you do or why you invest so much time, energy, and money towards achieving your music goals. And especially early on, it can be hard to find people who really understand what you're trying to accomplish and how to make it happen. So that's where Modern Musician comes in. My name is Michael Walker, and you know, I can understand and relate to that feeling. I've been there myself, and so has our team of independent artists. And the truth is that basically everything good in my life has been the result of music. It's the reason I met my wife. It's why I have my three kids. It's how I met my best friends. And now with Modern Musician, we've seen so many talented artists who started out with a dream, with a passion, but without really a fan base, without a business, and be able to take that and turn it into a sustainable full-time career and be able to impact hundreds of thousands, even millions of fans with their music. And we've had thousands of messages from artists who've told us that we've helped change their lives forever. And it just gets even more exciting, fulfilling when you're surrounded by a community of other people who get it and who share their success and their knowledge with each other openly. And so if you are feeling called to make your music a full-time career and to be able to reach more people with your music, then I want to invite you to join our community so that we can support your growth and help lift you up as you pursue your musical dreams. You'll be able to interact in a community with other high-level artists, coaches, and industry professionals, as well as be able to participate in our daily live podcasts, meet these amazing guests, and get access to completely free training. If you'd like to join our family of artists who truly care about your success, then click on the link in the show notes and sign up now.
I think people are like, some people are just innately more creative. And if you aren't innately more creative, then like, it's okay to seek help for that.
Welcome to the Modern Musician Podcast, where each week I help you turn your passion for making music into a profitable career. This is all about you discovering and expressing who you really are so that you can build a loyal fan base that truly resonates with you and with your music. You can impact more people with your artwork. I'm your host, Michael Walker, and let's get into it. All right. I'm excited to be here today with my new friend, Ronan Mullins. Yeah. Ronan is the co-founder of Boost Collective. They're a leading music marketing platform that serve thousands of artist campaigns monthly. And let me pull open a couple of notes here that we had. So they specialize in scaling organic Spotify playlisting campaigns to connect with real fans, build real engagement. They work directly with artists and labels to help them amplify their reach and be able to make a bigger impact in the music industry. So Roland, excited to have you on the podcast today. Talk a little bit about how can artists, when such like a noisy market, when there's so much happening in terms of new songs released every day, how do they actually cut through the noise and build a real relationship with their fans? So thank you for taking the time to come on the podcast today.
Yeah, man. My bad with the name, Ronan. It's like, there's like, I feel like there's a bunch of Rowans, there's a bunch of Rollins, there's a bunch of whatever. So I feel like my name is a little more rare. So I respect it, man.
Yeah. Roland, when I think of Roland, I think there's a Stephen King book that features a gunslinger named Roland. And I always thought that Roland is like a pretty badass name. Ronan is right there with it. I like it.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
But yeah, Ronan, maybe for anyone who this is their first time meeting you or connecting, could you share just a brief introduction to yourself and how you started Boost Collective?
Yeah, for sure, man. So we started off about like 8 years ago. I was in high school. I was in like 10th grade. And like it was crazy. So this was kind of like when the SoundCloud sort of thing was going on. Like we had all like the SoundCloud rappers and all the people who were posting like lower quality stuff, clips, whatever. Like I feel like mixing was just like completely out of the window back in that time. You know what I mean? And I sort of boosted in high school because I'd always loved music. I always like making music. I was like making like EDM and stuff. I was super big into like the big like Dutch scene that was going on that spawned in like, you know, it's always had prevalence, but I would say kind of like it peaked in like 2013 and stuff like that. It was like when it was big, like the Ultra Music Festival. I wanted to play on stage and stuff like that. I want to be a DJ, right? Mm. And so I was like posting music to SoundCloud, but it wasn't getting much traction. So I was obsessed with like looking up articles on like how do you get more streams, plays on SoundCloud, YouTube, and stuff like that. And I feel like there wasn't that much help, I think, especially back then, right? And so I decided to sort of like take a deep dive into what could I do, like all sort of things that people were doing back then, like big repost networks and mass DMing and whatnot, spam essentially. And so we kind of started Boost me and my business partner Damien back in like 2017 on a lot of those sort of like guerrilla music marketing tactics and whatnot. And we started the company. It went well. We had like a crappy website, and you know, over the years, it's kind of morphed into what it is today. We have like 15 plus people. We are headquartered in Toronto in Canada. And yeah, I'd say like, I don't think you can go, if you're an artist, I don't think you can go one day without seeing like a Boost ad on Instagram. That's the big thing. I was like, oh, I've seen your ads. So yeah, we primarily work Spotify on kind of like our e-commerce offerings. Anyone can go on, they can buy a package. We grow playlists through ad traffic. And we have like a really nice system for allocating and curating, essentially. And that's like our on-mass stuff. And then as well, we do like more one-on-one campaign stuff with artists that really, you know, kind of go into discovery, engagement, all that sort of thing with growing artists over there in that lane. So,
Cool. So, and just to clarify, when you said you have 15 people, you meant like 15 team members now?
Yeah. 15 people, yeah, on our team currently.
Not like you have like 15 artists who you're like, yeah, we got like 15 artists that we're running the campaigns for.
We do like 4,000 artists a month. So we're pretty high volume in that regard. But then, like I said, we have like a smaller division that we kind of just focus one-on-one. Building artist world building, advertising, marketing, brand strategy, capitalizing on moments, all that sort of thing.
Cool. Having worked with, you know, 4,000 artists that are currently, you know, running campaigns, I'm sure you hear a lot of the same challenges or problems that people are kind of facing when they first come to you. So I'm curious to get your perspective on what are some of the biggest challenges and problems that musicians are facing nowadays.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, problems and challenges, I think I always like to preach, and I'm sure you've heard this a million times with other guests on here, is really just music quality, the recording, who you're working with, the kind of sound you're pushing out. Is it new? Is it innovative? I think like obviously a lot of what people are pushing out these days is sort of like an imitation of what they like or what they hear. And isn't really truly them. I think it takes obviously like years in most cases to develop a sound, right? And I think that's the biggest problem that artists face, and I feel like we'll always face so long as, you know, artistry stays how it is. It's just about developing a sound, creating something that people like. And then of course with that comes like, hey, like what's marketing? Like this is so tricky for me. Am I doing well on Spotify? Why are people listening to my music? Why am I getting whatever? Well, maybe you're getting skipped. But usually it comes back to, at the end of the day, number one, ground zero, music.
Got it. Yep. Awesome. So it sounds like what you're saying is that, you know, the marketing is important, but really like the ground zero thing that needs to be true before you even start marketing is that you have a product that's worth marketing, that you're doing something unique, that you're standing out, that you have a unique sound that's not just imitating, but actually doing something original. So I'm curious to hear your recommendations for, you know, if like an artist is listening to this or watching this right now, and maybe they're early-ish on and they're trying to figure out like, what makes me unique or what is my unique sound? And, you know, and they're trying to figure out how to improve the quality of their music to have something that resonates more. Where do they get started?
Yeah, I think that's a good question. I think some artists are innately just creative, and because I'll work with artists that they have a lot of that stuff down, but like they haven't really marketed it, or they don't have any kind of budget to be able to get things going. But like the creative is really well like done, right, side of things. So I think people are like, some people are just innately more creative. And if you aren't innately more creative, then like it's okay to seek help for that, right? I think ultimately artists that are going to succeed are going to have a team built around them. I think everyone who's still independent, even at the highest level, still have like a good backing behind them, in terms of a videographer and someone who can, you know, help them with styling or like, you know what I mean? I was working with an artist recently that they just couldn't get anything to work. And like we were running a kind of like ad campaign. And I think his look was very abrasive. So I think it was just turning people off. And so he had like a company go in and sort of create a style guide for him. Like, these are your colors. Let's do artist world building. Let's think about, where are you from, right? He was like from Montana. And so it was like, okay, well, what would resonate with people in your area? You know, what is the goal? Like, if your goal is to kind of break in the city that you're from, what are the people around there? Like, if you're walking outside every day, if you're the, you know, the easiest access to playing a venue is in Montana, then how do we get you a look that, you know, you feel comfortable kind of sporting, but is also, and that is true to you, but that people will resonate with, right? So I don't know, there's lots of ways that you can go about it. You could hire a company to do it. You could, you know, go crazy on a Pinterest board and really get in, you know, that zone for hours in a month. But I think you definitely need to perfect a look. I'm not really obviously seeing artists that are popping that at least don't have some sort of distinctive look about them that you'll know as soon as they drop a track or they post the way that they interact, whatever it is that is inherently them, if that makes sense.
Mm, got it. Yeah. Yeah, that's great. So it sounds like what you'd recommend is you're starting by, you know, either using Pinterest or like a board of like references, kind of get clear on like what do you resonate with, and not just what you resonate with, but kind of finding that, you know, that Venn diagram where it's like things that are authentic to you and things that are, that resonate with a wider audience, and trying to kind of find that spot in the middle so that you can be authentic while also connecting, you know, with an audience.
Yeah.
Awesome. So, I'm curious to hear your perspective on improving like the quality of your music. Like if someone is just starting to make music right now and maybe the songs are good, like they don't have a problem with the creative part of it. They love writing songs. They have like 20 or 30 or 100 of them. But now there is a gap between like radio ready, like amazing quality versus where they're at right now. And yeah, you know, let's imagine that budget is sort of constrained. And so they're trying to figure out how to get the best value, you know, for their limited budget, but have good enough music and quality to really have commercial success.
Yeah.
What do you recommend that they get started with?
I think utilize like as many resources that you can on the internet. Like, I guess I want to give a shout out then to Rick Barker. I don't know if you talked to Rick before.
I've had him on the podcast a few times.
Yeah, Rick's a cool guy, man. Every time that we jump on the phone, it's kind of like we go into like some of the artists that he's building and stuff like that. And we kind of floated the idea of kind of marketing his new course that he's got out. And so he gave me access to this course. I went and I watched it. He interviewed, it was like a multi-hour thing with the Grammy winning like songwriter of the year. I don't know if he told you about it, like the for last year, Ron Thomas. He has like hits on hits on hits on hits. And this talk was really, really good. So I would probably push artists to something like what he's got. You should definitely check out his stuff. This writer is like super prolific, right? Like he's got the APT Bruno Mars Rosie tracker now. That's at like top five. Like that was like a billion streams since like October. And I think, he had this one idea that stuck with me within the course that was like, you don't need to get, you know, all 380 million or whatever the population of the US is right now. Like you don't need 400 million people to like, you just need like your million people at the apex at the top, right? And so whoever you're speaking to, you know, needs to be defined. So I think that's one thing a lot of artists, especially in like the hip hop rap space, things are just very generic right now. And I think we're in a resurgence of pen game, if that makes sense. So defining who that audience is, and finding, like, to answer your question, definitely finding resources online that can help you get better with just writing. But in terms of like, you know, song quality, I think there's a ton of people out there that will mix your track for like $100 that do a really great job, right? Like I've paid people that I hired this one like engineer from Atlantic. He's like on the payroll at Atlantic, and I think I spent like $500. It was like as per request of like this one artist, and the mix that I got back was like, in my opinion, was worse than like one of my friends that does mixing for like, for me for $100. So, you know, I think there's a bunch of people that can help. I think artists just don't get proactive enough to ask for help, and they have, they're in their head about asking for help. They want to do everything themselves. They have whatever the ego. But yeah, I think focus on great songwriting, define who your audience is, creating that, that content and that obviously like the musical content, what you're writing about that appeals to that audience, pick your audience, get stronger at that and ask for help. If you need a songwriter, if you know a small artist that you think has good pen game, ask them to come to the studio, right? Like that's one way to get it cheap. You can book a studio for $50, $100 and then invite someone, they'll come for free. You know what I mean? Like if you say, hey, like use some of the time as well, they can help you out on tracks and you'll get ideas flowing.
Awesome. Yeah, good stuff. And you know, now let's imagine that someone who's listening or watching this right now, they have the songs, and let's imagine that that they actually have like a compelling sound, and they've kind of defined you know, who their audience is and the people that are going to are most likely to resonate with it.
Yeah,
I'm curious to hear more about Boost Collective and the types of campaigns that you're running right now. Obviously, the world is like evolving rapidly, and now there's like AI stuff everywhere.
Yeah.
I'm curious what you find like at the time of recording this, what's really working best for you right now to help artists that have a compelling product to actually build an audience and make a bigger impact?
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, if you're just going off like the Boost site, we have like a bunch of packages and stuff like that. And we have a team of people that will go and create playlists. They will market those playlists, run ads to those playlists, and we'll grow them. And they're, you know, divided by genre. So we have someone listening to the song, we'll have someone placing that song within playlists that are going to work. And this is super great for an artist that is, let's say, starting off, right? Someone who doesn't have much, who wants to test the waters. Like I always say, like, test a few tracks, right? Put budget behind maybe 3 to 5 songs. You might find that song B outperforms song C by like 3-4 times the results. And a great way to do that is throw it in front of an audience pool that you know is guaranteed to hear it. So I think that's one way that I think a lot of people really like our playlisting, is that right out the gate, you can kind of see what metrics you're getting as fast as possible, right? And then you could take that data and say, okay, this song might be better to double down on. There's a lot of art. It really just depends on what that artist, you know, desires, what they want. There's a lot of artists that don't want to make content. There's a lot of artists that, right, they just want to throw it in front of ears and listen. I think the playlist is the best way to achieve that, right? If you're trying to build, obviously, a brand that is all-encompassing, you want to play live, you want to do all this stuff, then obviously your approach needs to be way grander than throwing your song on a playlist. Right? The playlist, that's why I feel like in marketing, there's a lot of people that have opinions of what is the most effective thing. And I think the most effective thing is just depending on what that artist is trying to achieve, right? Is it purely, I just want streams? Is it purely, you know, I want to have my 1,000 fans and we're doing what we're doing for those fans? Or do I want to be the next like Taylor Swift, Justin Bieber, Drake, whatever, right? So yeah, for Boost, I think, obviously, like I said, on my end of things, I really focus heavy on the one-on-one, getting in the nitty-gritty with the artists and developing those artists far beyond, let's say, just like a playlisting promo. But yeah, I think Boost, our bread and butter is organic playlisting, building real audience on playlists, ad traffic, all that sort of thing.
Mm, awesome. Yeah, so it sounds like where you specialize in terms of the organic traffic is Spotify playlists. And when someone gets their songs on those playlists, then they basically have guaranteed ears that are going to be actually listening to the songs. Now,
yeah.
Depending on which song it is and how well it resonates, you know, you can have up to like 3 times, you know, better results just from one song versus another one. So it's good to test out and see which ones resonate most.
Yeah, for sure.
And also having the wider kind of perspective on, you know, how do streams kind of fit into your full community and your full business is smart as well. I'd be curious to hear that second part specifically, like what have you found that's working right now that helps extend. Yeah, let's say that an artist does start to get streams and some initial like views and maybe even like followers on some of their socials. And now they're trying to figure out, how do I take these fans from like listeners, but turn them into real fans and like build an engaged community and start to monetize it more. What do you find that's working well right now?
Yeah, for sure. I think that question is probably the most important question. That's the one that all the label heads are after. That's the one that every management company is after, right? And I think that sort of thing, as much as I would love to say can be bought, there's an aspect that can't be bought, right? There's like that genuine, true fan engagement that obviously is assisted by marketing, by throwing money at things. Like, I've seen amazing brands, like amazing artist brands, amazing tracks that I've worked with the artists, they've released it, it's done almost nothing. But then you throw like $1,000 behind it and wow, a year later, we're at a million streams, right? And then you've seen stuff that, you know, you'll put behind that is objectively good to my ears or to like people I'm sharing. And then you throw another $1,000, $2,000 on it and it doesn't perform well, right? I think the market is obviously going to take what the market is going to take. And I think some artists, it depends on their style, like their fan base will just eat it up. Sometimes it won't. But to really like, let's say they're getting streams, let's say like an artist is at like 10, 20, 30,000 monthly listeners. So they're not in the like pure bottom of the barrel noise. Like people are clawing their way to try and get out. They have a few tracks that are getting residual streams month 6 to 12 or whatever, and it's in their catalog, right? I think the next step is definitely looking at seeing what's working, getting things that are on the newest trends. I know like people don't like to chase the trends, but sometimes, you know, that's what it's going to take. I think getting more nitty gritty on the refinement of the product, so what we're putting out next. I think there's like a bunch of things you could map out. I think I would sit down with an artist. I would look at their quality. I would analyze all the back end metrics. I would look at like, okay, like as a distributor, for example, like we have a distributor, right? Whatever, like we can check the skip rates, for example. Let's go and see on these tracks, the percent of people that are skipping on this music. You know what I mean? Let's go back to the drawing board and create something that is really, really good. I was talking to one kind of like executive, I think he's at Empire now, but he was talking about like, he just kept going back to like, I'm really good at putting great tracks together. And he has the metrics to back up like, okay, if we take this step or take that step to elevate a song, right? Like I think there's an artist, let's say there's an artist, he makes a song, but if it was sung by Justin Bieber, it would probably perform 10 times better. Something with Justin Bieber's voice, the market has reacted and said, yes, this is, you know, gold standard material. So I think there's a lot you can do. Let's say you have like the same $1,000 to spend, right? I think an artist that's in like that's independent, that doesn't have a backer or a distro that's giving them money, might have $1,000, $2,000 to run a campaign and for like a 3 month period or whatever, right? The best way that you can make use of that is really going to the drawing board and having that product that is amazing. Kind of like we spoke about earlier in this podcast, but yeah, what can we do to make sure that this song isn't going to get skipped for the life of us? And how do we really connect what we just wrote, what we just produced, what we just, you know, created? How do we get that resonating with our audience the best we can? What's the approach to that? And then there's all sorts of things on the marketing end checklist that we'd want to do. Organic social, content ideation, creative strategy, like all that sort of thing. It's crazy, right? It's something that obviously, let's say like the labels, for example, they have massive amounts of manpower to be able to handle, right? And then on the larger end of the artist spectrum, I think it's really just about scaling verticals. So like, do you just live on IG, TikTok short form reels? Like, is that the only way you're scaling your brand? Well, maybe we should think about radio, internet radio, like a sync opportunity, a appearance on a podcast, a appearance somewhere else, a show live, whatever it is to scale all those verticals, like in the back of a streamer's like stream on Twitch, whatever. You know what I mean? I think it's just like thinking broader, going broader. So you want to master one and then go broader.
Mm, got it. Yeah, super smart. I'm curious, the you having like kind of access to the wider data when it comes to like things like skip rate, what's the average or kind of standard that you're looking for where it's like, ah, man, if this song is getting a skip rate above X percent, like I'm like maybe there's time to go back to the drawing board. And I guess it kind of probably depends on the audience. Like, are they in the front of the right audience that they're not going to skip it because, you know, they actually are the kind of people who would enjoy it. And also the quality of the music. But yeah, I'm just kind of curious what you look for in terms of a skip rate.
Skip rate is super, super interesting. I think like percent wise, because it goes by percent. And the cool thing about it is that it's going to show you like how many sub 30 streams you're getting. So what that means is a stream isn't counted until you have like 30 seconds of a song stream, right? So if someone, like for anyone that doesn't know, you'll stream a song, but if you skip it at like 26 seconds in, Spotify is not going to count that as a stream, and that could harm your chances of them deciding to push it in their discovery features, like your release radar or your their radio or autoplay or whatever DJ. So like it's very crucial in today's kind of landscape to make sure that you get that listener to that 30 second threshold. But to answer your question, I mean, I can just pull up the data. I'm looking at data right now. Like I've got an artist here that has 1.6 million monthly listeners, and their top track in the last month has a 23% skip rate. So in the complete rate at 65.8%. So 65.8% of every single listener went and streamed through the song, essentially. And then it'll tell you the sub 30 second stream. So this is the part that I feel like makes would make the artist and their team want to cry, essentially. This one has 112,000 sub 30 streams. So those are 112,000 streams that we could have got if we would have got people to 30 seconds, which is crazy, right? The song has in the last 30 days, 465,000 streams. So 500,000 streams, but we lost out on about 112,000. So that number could have looked like 600,000 if we would have got people there. So
super, you know, interesting.
Super interesting. Yeah.
I was just imagining like deliberately putting parts in the first 30 seconds of your song that are like hooks that are like build up. Yeah. So it's like, wait for it.
Yeah.
Boom, like 31 seconds.
Yeah, for sure, man. I mean, it's just like content creation. I mean, at the end of the day, I think that's where we've moved. I think everyone, like, what is it? Like Gen Z has a worse attention span than a goldfish. That's what the, whoever study, I don't know if that's true. I'm Gen Z.
I've heard that before too. Yeah, you know, I don't know the study, but I've definitely heard that.
Yeah. So I think, I mean, it's the same way with making an ad for your song. I mean, if your first, it's called the hook rate, the percent rate. It's like the first 3 seconds of your ad. Like if 50, 60 people are leaving, like you see those charts when you run a creative and like, okay, you have 100% viewer at 0 seconds. Yeah. Cause they're scrolling on their page, but then instantly it's falling down. You're just wasting money. Right. So I think artists, it's the struggle, right? Some artists are all about, oh, this is my art and I want to have a 30 second intro or a 40 second cinematic buildup to my song. You know, that's great. I think if you are The Weeknd, like, I don't know if you heard his new album, but like a lot of some of the tracks like take a minute to get started. I think it's more of a cinematic experience album. But then you have like more viral creators and kind of viral artists where their song just starts right away. You know what I mean? It really just depends. I think if you're kind of a legacy act, it doesn't matter. If you're someone whose audience at least is the youngest generation, then it just might be something to think about, right?
Mm, got it. Mm. So I think probably the last question that I have is related to the monetization for artists. When, like, let's say that they've they've got a decent amount of Spotify streams. They've started to build traction. They have like a bit of a community. And now their biggest question is, how do I take these people that I'm resonating with, that I've built like a bit of a community around, and how do I actually make it into a sustainable income? I'm curious if you've seen any creative things that artists are doing, or if you see any patterns, you're like, wow, like it seems like this kind of thing is really working well for artists right now that people can plug into.
Yeah, I mean, there's a bunch of things. You could always sell merch and attach it as like on the track level on Spotify, like underneath the song, you can attach a merch item that resonates with that. I think that's one good way to go about it if you really have someone who, shows up for you every single time. But I'm going to guess most artists don't have that are watching. And I think one-on-one, the main thing that I want to focus on really is how do we create a roadmap for you to where you can get to the point where you don't have to rely on purely spending money every single release to make any sort of impact, right? So I believe strongly in numbers. I believe strongly in like projections and knowing what I can get for what cost. So in terms of that aspect, it's like, let's try and make a return on streaming. I think like the big debate is like, oh, streaming doesn't pay enough. And yeah, it could be better for sure, right? But that's what we got, and those are the cards that we have in our deck. So let's run the calculations and then think hypothetically, okay, how many people do we need to shove at this? And you just need a sustaining fan base to do it. So I did like this one artist that I'm working with right now. His name's Augie. So shout out to Augie. I think he's at around like 40K, and he was at like 5 to 10. I've been working with him for a few years now. He's in LA right now. But I took him from like, I don't know, 5-10 to 40 or 50 peak monthly this last drop. And he's kind of starting from zero. So he'll make a post on Instagram. No one's going to go and check out the song, right? There is no community there. You'll post a song. He'll get like 100. He was getting like 100, 200, 300 streams within this first few days of releasing the track, right? So what we did is we created like a whole comprehensive like content plan where we went out and we shot creatives for his song. It was called Adderall High. And the song was basically about like, you're so intensely in a state of focus that it kind of feels like you're on Adderall, right? And no one could knock him down from that focus. And it was like, that was the writing behind that track was, so we went and we got creative with it. We went into like, I think the winning piece of content that won for that song was like, he was in a therapy session. And the first 3 seconds of the video was like from the therapist standpoint. So he's like holding up his phone, like behind the computer screen, like, yo, this guy won't stop yapping. And it's like, Augie, he's the artist and he's like complaining about his problems. And then it switches to another angle in the same room. Kind of like you have your two camera angles, but this is like pro camera. And then he breaks the fourth wall, speaks at the camera kind of thing with the lyrics. But the lyrics are, the first lyric is like, lately I've been feeling stressed. So it works perfectly in this scenario based like video of him being in a therapy session in the theme of the song, which a lot of people I feel like can relate to, people going through struggle, people, whatever it is, going to therapy, doing this stuff. That resonated incredibly well with someone. So we're building kind of like what this represents, and we got like 500,000 streams as of like we're at about 500,000 streams in about 80 days on that track. So to build the momentum into the next release, which we're putting out for him on March 7th, is cool. We've already bought that data. We spent, let's say, $3,000 on it. So how do we make $3,000 back? I think over the course, like $3,000-$4,000 over the course of a year, that song is going to make it back like that. The metrics were right on that track. It took about 12 months to recoup that investment. But going forward, the next track should be, in theory, easier than the last one. If it's a great track and we can also get it to resonate with people, should be, in theory, easier to recoup that money because we have all this. We have all the audience from the last track that we've already paid to get that data. We own. We have the data now for that, right? We can retarget those people. We got like 300, 400 comments on those ad videos promoting that last track, on like that therapy video and a bunch of other videos that we tested. So let's get a little more guerrilla with it. Let's go run pre-save campaign. Let's go run up like 300-400 people pre-saving following out the gate, stronger release week. And then you could even use ChatGPT to create like a mapped projection of how long it's going to take if you are, you know, retaining a stream floor of whatever it is. I think our stream floor will be like 2000 for the last track, and you can just kind of plug it in. It's like, okay, cool. It'll take 350 days, 370 days, whatever, to recoup the investment if payout per stream is 0.003 cents, whatever. Mm-hmm. So I think it's that, and then creating a really, really robust like release schedule. My plan for him, transparently, I'm going to spend probably like 10, 15K on the next like 2-3 singles. So we'll be like 15 in the red. We'll be recouping our investment as we go. But out of that, what came out of that, we have, you know, like right now, like 1,500 new followers on Spotify. We will reach like 3,000, 4,000 by the end of those releases, maybe more. We have a ton of new audience that are on Apple and are on Amazon and that are on YouTube now, right? We have a ton of people in the DMs that we can send pre-save links to. They've forever pre-saved, they've followed, so they'll get hit with those tracks. Basically, the point is to get him to the point where he can start releasing new music and we don't have to pay as much to get the same result as last time. You can drop two tracks. They can probably get 50 to 150 to 200,000 all DSP on their own without the promo push in 2-3 releases from now, right? And that will go back to recouping some of that investment and recoup it faster. So yeah, I think it's really just like play with the deck of cards that you have, do the best that you can, take risks, but you know, calculated risks, and really see if you can come up with a strategy that will, in hopes, make back that investment. And in music, it's always been a long game. It's a catalog game. It's about building catalog. It's about placing your bets on tracks and waiting a year, 2 years with good marketing to get return back and being comfortable with making that investment. So yeah, I think a lot of artists might be a little bit afraid to do that, but the ones that they've got it, some guys just have it and they know what they're doing. And you have, let's say you have a team like my team or someone else that's good at what they do. You know, I think there's a way to make a roadmap to ROI. Mm.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah, it sounds like what you're saying is that a little bit like a snowball, you know, that kind of goes down a hill. Like over time, like with each release, you know, you might not make a return on the first release, but you know, when you start to, you know, pack on the snowball over time, then it gets easier and easier for it to gain momentum. The analogy that kind of came to mind was almost like you're driving uphill at the beginning, and in order to drive uphill, you kind of need this like fuel or this gas to kind of like push the car uphill. And it's like the natural gravity is going to pull you back. So like, unfortunately, you have to kind of like push, but there's this point where you're on top of the hill and then you like go over the hill and now gravity is working in your favor. And with less and less gas, you can, you know, now it's like kind of moving on its own. It's a little bit like that with the algorithm, where once you kind of have that traction, now it's, you know, it's moving in your the right direction. So you don't necessarily have to invest as much in order to keep having momentum. Maybe like Hot Wheels, like, you know, like every once in a while you have like a booster that goes whoosh, and then it kind of like shoots it forward. So it gives you momentum, but you know, it kind of shifts because you're not going uphill anymore.
Yeah, for sure. Totally. That's a great analogy. Great way to look at it, for sure.
Mm. Awesome. Well, Ronan, man, it's been great connecting. And just out of curiosity, how old are you?
I'm 23.
23 years old. Dang, that's awesome, man. And you built a team to 15 people?
Yeah, it's doing well. I want to say we're probably the largest like Spotify playlisting kind of company that kind of is like on mass services thing. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's cool, man. We'll see where we can take it. Obviously goals for me, just bigger, better, more campaigns, more artists, bigger artists, see how we can make impact. And then of course, get back, share and see the results of my findings. So yeah. Mm.
Cool. Well, good for you. I mean, you're definitely more mature than I was when I was 23 years old.
Thanks, bro. I really appreciate it. Thanks for having me on. Like, this means a lot. Really excited to see what you guys come up with, especially you guys got that new HQ. all that stuff. Definitely would love to swing by Orlando sometime and chop it up.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. Based on everything you just shared, and based on what I've seen from Boost Collective, it seems like there's some big alignment opportunities and partnership stuff. So yeah, looking forward to connecting more.
Yeah, let's do it, man. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Yeah, you got it. And for anyone that's listening or watching this right now who is interested in diving deeper or learning more about Boost Collective and the different packages that you offer, where's the best place for them to go to dive deeper?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, obviously probably just the website, just boost-collective.com right now. That's probably the best way. Or you could check out, I just started a new Instagram where I'm going and diving in on like the metrics and all that side of things that I'm seeing working for artists, kind of more on the tailored approach. But yeah, Boost Social, my social, or just the Boost site, I would say.
Awesome. Well, like always, we'll put all the links in the show notes for easy access. And Ronan, great connecting today. Thanks again for being on the podcast.
Likewise, man. Thank you so much.
Hey, this is Michael, and I just wanted to say thank you for tuning into this episode of the podcast. I hope you found it really valuable, and if you did, if you want to share the word, we really appreciate you leaving a 5-star review on the podcast channel. If you want to learn more about the guest, you can check out the show notes for the links. And before you go, I wanted to remind you that I'm looking for new artists to mentor personally. Before we get started, we always offer a free 30-minute coaching call to make sure it's a good fit before you get your campaign launched. At this point, the artists that we've worked with have hit over 561.3 million streams, a number one album on iTunes, and have helped many artists grow from scratch to making a full-time income with their music online. In a few rare cases, they've even been able to generate $1 million per year with their music. That being said, we are very selective with who we work with, just based on who's the best fit and who we can best serve. And because we have a limited amount of time available for those free sessions, we do require an application process where you can submit your music and you can apply for a free coaching call with our team. So if you're interested, go ahead and click on the link in the show notes to submit an application, share one of your songs. We look forward to checking out your music, and we'll see you in the next episode.